Let us pray once again. Testify to us, O God, by the voice of your Spirit. Put your law in our hearts, write your word in our minds, and show your will in our lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Our first reading this morning is the New Testament reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, verses 51 through 62. Let us hear God's word for us today. When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him, but they did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But Jesus turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me," but he replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at home." And Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." Here ends our first reading for this morning. Testament reading this morning comes to us from 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 15. Now when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." And Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, as the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So they came to Jericho. The company of prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you? And he answered, yes, I know, be silent. Then Elijah said to him, stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan. But he said, as the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So the two of them went on. 50 men of the company of prophets also went and stood at some distance from them as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his mantle and rolled it up and struck the water. The water was parted to one side and to the other until the two of them crossed on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, tell me what I may do for you before I am taken from you. Elisha said, please, let me inherit a double share of your spirit. He responded, you have asked a hard thing. Yet if you see me as I'm being taken from you, it will be granted you. If not, it will not. As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah ascended in a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha kept watching and crying out, Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen. But when he could no longer see him, he grasped his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. He picked up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water, saying, where is the Lord, the God of Elijah? When he had struck the water parted to the one side and to the other, and Elisha went over. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Presbyterian minister and Yale professor Tom Troger tells the story of how he used to put on his father's clothes when he was a kid. He would find suits and ties and socks and hats and shoes and all of that, and he would put it all on, and then he would go and sit at a desk and play business. Dressed up in his father's work clothes, he would pretend that he was on an important business call, doing great things in the world. And Troger says that in some way, he knew that he looked ridiculous. I mean, the clothes hung off of him. The sleeves were way too long. The shoes clanked on the ground from being too many sizes too big. The tie would come almost to his knees. Yet he knew in some way, too, that wearing the clothes gave him a new identity, even if they didn't quite fit right, or if he felt foolish if someone saw him. Some of us may remember this, the feeling foolish. Some of us may have played dress up like that when we were younger. I did when I was a kid, but I also remember going clothes shopping back to school, and I had to get jeans and shoes that were a little too big so that I could grow into them. I hated that, the grow into them. The clothes would be just a little bit off. They didn't quite fit right for a few weeks, and they made me feel awkward and clumsy. Now, every minister I know experiences this as well, this same awareness. I haven't met any who didn't feel a little awkward the first time they put on their robes. The sleeves might be too long or too short. Sometimes we're given robes by mentors. The pocket slit may be cut too high, and you might not be able to reach your pocket. The hem might not be right. But most every minister I know who puts on a robe the first time talks about how heavy it is. And this heaviness always amplifies the responsibilities to which ministers are called. Today we heard the story of Elisha, how he came to fill the role of God's prophet, how he inherited the mantle, the robe from Elijah, his mentor, how he put on that robe and the sleeves might have been a bit too long and it probably felt too heavy for him. The story of how he comes to follow Elijah is in the beginning of 1 Kings. Elijah, as we know, is the great prophet of God, the one who will return before the Messiah comes. And he begins his ministry thrown to the wolves, more or less. We've heard some of his story, how he was called to confront the prophets of Baal and King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. And from that time on, more or less, he's running for his life throughout his ministry. But he still continues to be a prophet, and he proclaims God's word to the people of Israel. He cautioned against idol worship and praising false prophets, and many times he called out God's own people for their faith practices. And along the way, he mentors other prophets as well. He would gather these prophets into companies and train them in the ways of being a prophet. One of these was Elisha. And for 10 years, Elisha accompanied Elijah on his way. He was an apprentice, preparing for the time when the mantle would be passed on to him. And when Elisha is anointed, Elijah places his cloak over his shoulders, signifying that he is next in line to be the great prophet of God. Now, Elisha must have forgotten all that, but that is a little bit understandable, because when we come to this passage, he's afraid to leave his teacher, afraid that his mentor will leave him before he has a chance to say goodbye. He's afraid of carrying on without his mentor there to guide him. He's afraid of being left alone in this task. And so we get this long, drawn-out goodbye that makes it even more difficult to let go. It's difficult to determine if leaving is harder on the one leaving or the one left behind. The one going is going into the unknown, while the one left is returning to the known, only without the mentor or person who's helped make sense of the known. So three times Elijah tells him to leave, and three times Elisha refuses. When the prophetic company comes out to tell Elisha that his mentor is leaving, he tells them to be quiet. His anxiety only increases as this drama unfolds. He's afraid of being left alone, so afraid that he tears his clothes, which is a big deal if you don't have a lot of clothes. He's afraid. It's a great fear. It's a legitimate fear. And in some cases, it's justified fear. There's a story of a famous preacher who was a bit of a fraud, because his sermons were really great, but no one ever knew that he didn't write them. They'd been written by the staff assistant. And finally, the assistant's patience ran out. And one day the preacher was speaking to thousands of expectant members of his church. And he got to the bottom of page 2 and he read these words with great feeling. And this, my friends, takes us to the heart of the book of Malachi, which is, and he turned to page 3 and he saw nothing but the dreaded words, "You're on your own now." You're on your own now. It's probably what Elisha was feeling when he saw Elijah depart up into heaven. But the thing is, Elisha wasn't alone. He had this community of people around to help him out. He had colleagues to guide him and people to bounce ideas off of. He had the words of his mentor ringing in his ear. He had God with him as well. Elisha wasn't alone, despite his perceptions to the contrary. Anyone who served in leadership in the church and other organizations, which is all of you, can say that at times it feels that you're going it alone. That the work you're called to do is lonely and isolating and no one else will step up and help. But we also know that oftentimes we're not alone in our tasks. And it's important to remember this. Because when we think that we're isolated, When we feel like we're isolated, we think that we're left alone and we're not going to feel like doing what God has called us to do. Coach Holtz, Lou Holtz, who was down at South Carolina and Notre Dame and other places, tells a story of a man who accidentally ran his car off the road and into a ditch. He wasn't hurt, but his car was stuck and he couldn't get it out. Well, this is on the side of a farm, so he goes up to the farmer and asks him for help. The farmer was out in the field plowing. He had his mule Dusty hooked up. So he just got Dusty and pulled him up and hooked him up to the car. When everything was all set, he said, "Come on, Dusty. Come on, Jack. Come on, Joe. Pull it hard, Tom. Pull, pull, pull." And he got the car out of the ditch with great ease. Well, the car owner was understandably grateful. He was able to drive off, and he thanked the owner, the farmer, over and over again. And then he said, "But I have a question for you. I want to know something. Why'd you call Dusty by four different names?" And the farmer said, "Well, it's like this. Dusty's eyesight's gone. He can't see. And if he thought for one second that he was the only one pulling, he wouldn't have tried hard at all." We're not left alone in our tasks. The mantle that Elisha picks up and separates the Jordan with is the same mantle that anointed him for ministry. The spirit that Jesus gave the disciples at Pentecost is the same spirit given to us for all of our tasks. We've inherited this great mantle of faithfulness, complete with all the gifts and tools and the spirit to perform the tasks to which we're called. And we're not alone in doing those things. An African proverb states, if you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, go together. And we know this from our own experience. Because like Elisha, we have a great company of prophets and faithful witnesses to help us along the way on our journeys. Some of those are sitting in the pews around us. Many of those are, and some of them are no longer with us. But their legacy lives on in spirit in this place. And we give thanks to God for them. It's important that we look for these examples. Important that we look for these assurances. Elisha, like many others before and since, has sought God's assurance that he was called to the task. And when Elisha asked for a double portion, he's not being greedy. The double portion was the one given to the oldest son, the rightful heir. He wanted an assurance that when Elijah left, that Elisha would be able to carry on as a prophet of God. He wanted those assurances that he wasn't alone. And he's not. We know that God's Spirit is with him throughout his life and ministry. If you read further on into the text, you'll see that he has that double portion of God's Spirit, that his works and his words convey the message of God to all of his people. Their path from Bethel to Jericho to the Jordan is the same one that Joshua took when he was going into the promised land. By taking this route, God is again saying to him that God is still faithful, that just as God was with Israel when they entered the promised land, so too is God with Elisha now, despite the loss of this great prophet. God promises to be with him, promises to be with the disciples, and promises to be with us. God confirmed this by the miraculous parting of the river when he says, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elisha?" And strikes the water. You can almost hear in the echo of the slap and the water parting, God saying, "I have not abandoned you. I am with you as much as I was with Elijah and others before him." And so Elisha picks up that mantle. He continues on the prophetic office that began with his mentor, preaching the word of God to a new generation of followers, telling them the wonderful deeds of God's mighty acts, and empowering those followers for mission. And it's the same with us. We're empowered for that mission as well, because we too have inherited a mantle that equips us to proclaim the mighty acts of God to a new generation of believers. And like a robe, it's a mantle with enormous responsibilities. We're given the task of building up God's people, of serving the community, of furthering the peace, unity, and purity of the church, of striving to live faithful lives. But we're not alone in this task. And we've been given a double portion necessary to perform these deeds as well. And so, in this season of thanksgiving, let us live into this calling with great confidence. Let us be assured that God has not abandoned us to this task, but know that we are not alone to do this work and that God is with us still. The company of prophets also goes with us, and Christ's Spirit goes with us, leading us, guiding us, and empowering us together. Thanks be to God for the gift of his Spirit and for calling us to this task. Amen. Our next hymn this morning is hymn number 329.